Welcome back into the Rockies Recapped podcast. I was given a little bit of a break to see if I can make the podcast a little bit longer, so it's not that, you know, that typical 8 to 10 minute podcast. Make it maybe around a 15 minute podcast. Rockies came out, got a big series win over the Phillies, then got a big series win again against the Washington Nationals, and we saw in those two series what the offense can really do, and we also saw in those series what the defense and the pitching really needs to work on. You know, every time Nolan has hit a homer in a game, the Rockies have gone undefeated. So if he homers, we've won every game that he's homered in. You know, Trevor Story's been hot all year. You know, as a power hitting player, he's going to strike out more because he's looking to crush the ball. Most of the time, he's looking to crush the ball. A lot of people don't like it whenever he strikes out, but, you know, striking out is part of the game. David Dahl has been hot all year, hitting for power and for contact. Brian McMahon has heated up here recently, coming off of injury. And, you know, we've got players like Charlie Blackman and Raimel Tapia who have shown bits this year of what they can do. You know, Charlie Blackman having that three-hit game against the Phillies. Raimel Tapia, the inside-the-park home run against the Phillies, had a couple other home runs here recently. In my opinion, Raimel Tapia is eventually going to take over that left field spot, and David Dahl is going to take over the center field spot. Ian Desmond isn't hitting the ball particularly well. He's not playing defense He's not hitting the ball well. He's not playing defense well. He's really been a sore throat for the Rockies and causing a lot of problems. Chris Iannetta hasn't hit the ball well. We know what he's done on defense this year. It's not looking very good for him either, because Tony Walters is absolutely mashing the ball right now. He's not hitting home runs, but he's driving in runs. He's getting clutch hits. He's getting clutch walks. He's really setting up the team to succeed, and that's what we need, is players that are going to step up, be clutch in the moments they need to be clutch, and hit the ball when they need to hit the ball. Tony Walters has been all of that this year. Raimel Tapia has been that all this year. David Dahl, sorta. He's struck out a lot more recently, but, you know, he's not going to hit 350 all year. I think he will hit over 300 at the end of the season. I think he'll be over 300, but I think we'll see him dip down into the 280, 290 region these next couple of series, just because, you know, slumps happen in baseball, and that's what Nolan was in at the beginning of the season. He was in a slump, and now he's breaking out of it. Garrett Hampson, unfortunately, I'd like to see Garrett succeed, because if we can get him on base, that speed is killer for the opposing pitchers. Eventually, I'd like to see him lead off. If he figures out what he's gonna, if he can figure out his bat, you know, have him lead off, have Charlie bat after him, and that's something that I think we could see in the future, that will allow the Rockies to, you know, get that speed on base, Charlie move him over, and, you know, a ground ball to the outfield. Garrett could go first to third on a ground ball through the outfield. He could even probably score from first to home if Charlie puts a ball far enough in the outfield, or Nolan or whoever. But it has to be on the ground, of course. He's not scoring first to home on a fly ball. You know, and then the Braves series was thankfully won due to questionable bullpen support from the Braves. You could hear them in a couple of the games chanting, "We want Kimbrel, sign Craig." Their bullpen has blown a lot of leads, blown a lot of games this year. And that's something you don't really want to see as a Braves fan, but I'm not a Braves fan, so it was pretty nice for us to get a couple wins there. You know, it's been a rough couple last three games. We lose the first two to the Diamondbacks, who are surprisingly very good team. They are a very good team. You know, everybody thought that they'd be the Padres of last year, but they're looking a lot better than they were last year. Losing a couple key players and Paul Goldschmidt and a couple others. Not very many people knew what they were going to do. They signed Adam Jones, sorry, couldn't think of his name, for a one-year deal late into the spring training session, and he's turned out to be an amazing player. Christian Walker's turned out to be an amazing player so far. Let's see, they got Blake Swihart playing catcher in right field. I mean, the Diamondbacks are a seriously deadly team, and we need to take them serious if we want a chance at taking that NL West title. You know, the NL West is a very competitive league this year. The Giants aren't necessarily bad. The Padres are good. The Diamondbacks are good. And, of course, you know, the Dodgers are good, but the Rockies are a good team too. We just got to wait for, you know, the other NL West teams to hit their slumps for us to hit our hot peak, because you know, that's where we're gonna have to take advantage, is to get a big old lead on the Dodgers playing bad or the Diamondbacks playing bad. You know, we're playing very good recently. Very clutch eighth inning last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think it was a 5-run inning, and we went up 8-7, and then Wade Davis closed it out for us. Wade Davis has been very skeptical this year, I guess you could call it. He's been, there's been times where you're not sure what he's going to do. For example, at the Phillies game I was at on April 27th, he got two outs really quick and then gave up two runs, or gave up a run and had a runner on third. And thankfully, Cesar Hernandez chopped a ball straight back to him. You know, Kyle Freeland's been struggling. Tyler Anderson just got sent down. Aaron Marquez has been good, but there's been times where once he gets through the first couple of rounds through the lineup, he just gets hit. But that's, you know, that's a game. That's part of the game. You know, you're going to get hit, especially whenever people figure out how you're working them. Antonio Senzatella and John Gray have been very good. Jeff Hoffman has been skeptical too, but definitely been a little bit better than our Tyler Anderson situation. And then we've got Daniel Murphy back, which has been extremely crucial. He's playing very well. He has, what, 3 home runs on the year, but he's also just come back from injury. He also is batting a little bit higher than where he was. You know, he only had, what, like 10 at-bats before he got hurt, and now he's just playing out of his mind. But yeah, we're starting to figure things out. It's not the end of the world. It's a very good team with very high potential. It's just we have to stay positive. As my good friend Drew Creasman would say, the umpires have been absolutely atrocious all year. You know, there's a lot of balls that have been called strikes, and a lot of strikes have been called balls. They're extending innings. They're extending at-bats. And it's been really rough on our players to adjust to it. And a lot of people can say, oh, you can't blame it on the umpires. Human error is part of the game. But whenever you know where the strike zone is, those players aren't little league players or first-year players where they don't know what exactly the strike zone looks like. I mean, these guys have been playing for 15 to 20 years. They know where the strike zone is. They know what's a ball. They know what's a strike. It's very frustrating watching it on TV because it's just so inconsistent. It's very flip a coin, and that's what's going to be called. Stuff at the knees isn't getting called. Stuff at the chest isn't getting called. And, yeah, it's hard for us to really put into perspective what it's like to be up there and have a ball 4 called strike 3. And on Twitter the other day, there's the Let the Kids Play campaign going on right now, and somebody commented on a live stream of BSN Rockies and said, instead of let the kids play, how about let the kids watch? You know, they're taking this season very serious. It's a season where we had a lot of expectations. I had the Rockies winning 91 games this year. I'm sticking with it. I mean, they haven't shown me why they can't win 91. I mean, they're only a couple games behind 500, folks. I mean, we're only a couple weeks in the season. I mean, if it's like August and we've lost a majority of our games and we're 15 games behind 500, then yeah, we're probably not winning 90 games. But you got to stick with your predictions. You got to stick with the team. It's not necessarily a bad thing for us to get all these bad losses out early. I'd rather get them out early than, you know, like last season, lose a crucial game to the Nationals. That could have given us the NL West title for the first time. So we've discussed all the really, trying to think of the word. Come on, Jake. We've discussed all the positives and negatives of this season. There's a lot of hope for us, so keep your head up. Make sure if you're at Coors Field, cheer as loud as you can for the boys. There are times to boo, there are times to cheer. Make sure you're doing one or the other at the correct time, because the last thing you want to do is really anger the people around you, because then that just changes the atmosphere at Coors Field. And Coors Field is one of the nicest facilities I've ever been at. I've been to Dodger Stadium, I've been to Chase Field, I've been to what's now called Oracle Park. All of those are really hostile environments. Let's keep Coors Field a positive environment. Let's keep the wave away from Coors Field. And yeah, I'll be at the game on Thursday against the Giants. I'm thinking of the Diamondback series from this past weekend, sorry. Kyle Freeland will be on the mound, so I'll do a live show after that. Try to get a couple people on the podcast if I can. Give you a live breakdown of what I saw, what I thought about the game, kind of how the bullpen did, because, you know, Carlos Estevez has been good at certain points, and then at other points, he's looked like a mess. Wade Davis has looked good at certain points, looked like a mess. DJ Johnson has looked good at points, looked like a mess. Son Juan Oh has pitched really bad at the beginning of the season. He lost his setup role and has moved to the sixth inning spot. So now our setups are Scott Oberg, and I can't remember who the other person they're using for setup is now. I want to say it might be... It's not Mike Dunn. We'll go with Scott Oberg as our setup man. So, yeah. I will definitely keep you guys up to date. Get you guys the update after this upcoming series with the San Francisco Giants. But remember to wear your purple with pride. And I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Thanks.